Hello, everyone. I'm Owen with Lights, Camera, Film Reviews, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, Patrice Vermette. Mr. Vermette was the Oscar-winning production designer for Dune, a film that was released in 2021, and also did the production design for films like Arrival, Prisoners, and more. Thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Owen, for having me.
Yeah, so before I get into the specifics of your production design on Dune, would you mind telling me a little bit about your background as a production designer and maybe where you found your passion for becoming one?
I think I found my passion without actually ever, like, realizing it at first. I was 7 years old. My dad took me to see a movie called Star Wars in 1977. And from that moment on, I there was something, you know, like in my parents' household, when we were watching a movie, we needed to stay until the very, very, very last credit. So we're watching all the credits roll down. So, oh my God, there's a lot of people involved in a movie like this, right? And so after watching that movie, I started making, you know, Lego models of spaceships, and then cardboard models of space stations and rebel and empire bases, and just like taking over basically the basement of the house. At first, you know, maybe 5%, 10%, then it was like 2/3 of the basement which I occupy, and my parents were bringing their friends downstairs to see what their youngest son was doing. Like, look at this is our son's world. So I think back then, you know, I kind of, without really realizing it, I already had a passion for creating worlds. And then, you know, like I went to Concordia University. I studied in communication studies with a specialization in sound design. Which, you know, for me, it's very strange to say, but it's very similar to production design, because it's about creating something in the background that will support and in a metaphorical way, you know, support the story and tell, and, you know, and then, you know, because I had some friends in working in on commercials as PAs, when I was in university, I started working as a production assistant to be able to pay my bills. And but I always dreamed of you know, doing sound design. But then as I was a PA, I was looking at the people who were involved in the in the sets and the props, and I was like, wow, I recognize myself in those people. And they seem to be the group of people that I mostly identify with. And slowly I started working as an assistant to some art directors and designers on the local Quebec, Montreal productions. And then one day I was invited to do a freebie as a production assistant on a music video, and the designer, art director slash art director, did not show up on during the prep, and I jumped on the opportunity. And long story short, I jumped on the opportunity, and then the director liked my work, which I totally improvised. I told him, I'm going to give you a hand, but I have no experience doing that. And then he offered me his next job, and his next job. And then he introduced me to other directors. And that's, you know, that's started from there, basically from doing music videos, commercials, meeting Jean-Marc Vallée, who was an amazing, one of my best friends, and he passed away 2 years ago. But we made our first movies together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great. That's a great story. And so I guess my next question is kind of going to Dune now. Could you explain a little bit about that process of creating that overall look and designing these like large scale sets for a movie like Dune?
Well, Dune was it was our fifth collaboration between Denis Villeneuve and myself. Denis also, like, French Canadian, came from the same background as I come from. So we have a a shorthand of collaborating. And so Denis, it was a cold winter, I think it was in 2018 or 19. He invited me for breakfast, and we had not collaborated together on Blade Runner. And our last film together was Arrival. And so he calls me up, says, "What are you doing for breakfast?" I said, "Well, nothing. Let's have breakfast together." Okay, cool. So because we live about like 10 minutes from each other, I said, "Okay." Mm-hmm. So we meet at this spot. And I was thinking it was going to be a conversation about, "How's your family? How are the kids?" You know, like old friends seeing each other.
Yeah, and, exactly.
He basically said, "Okay, would you want to do Dune with me?" And I'm like, "What? You serious there?" He says, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Okay." So anyway, so it started like that. He said, "We don't have a final script, but you're familiar with the book." I said, I read the book when I was like in my teenage years, and I saw the David Lynch movie. And he said, "Well, that book for him was his passionate. It was the book that most influenced him in his life. His favorite book." And he said, so we talked about his feelings about the book, how he saw the worlds of Dune. And then I went on and went back to reading the book myself after that. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to be respectful, obviously, of Denis' vision, but also as respectful to the words of Frank Herbert, okay, which yeah. was it's the basic, and also to the fans of the book. And So it started like that, and I by reading the book, and then after the screenplay, I read the screenplay afterwards. Obviously, the screenplay is a summarized version of only half of the book, but by reading the book, and a screenplay tells you things, but not the whole story, not the background. Like it was important for me to go to the source material.
Yeah.
And learning what, you know, finding the cues that the author would leave behind in the text, in the words, in the sentences, and just, you know, okay, so that was part for me. It's reacting to a reality. For that movie, the design was basically, you know, like what's the world like? It,
yeah.
The planets we examine, which are like Caladan first, Arrakis, and Gedi Prime. It was just like reacting to that cultures or the element, the reality of the elements of those planets. So, for instance, for Arrakis, the there's winds that go at the 850 kilometers an hour. Okay, that's. That's okay. That's quite something.
Yeah.
There's the sandworms. It's another reality. The heat is another important reality. So when you start designing, you're going to start designing with those facts in mind. So would you ever build anything like straight with those winds? No, everything would be at an angle. So you have to respond to, because for Denis and I, it's important that design is not just design. It needs to reflect a reality, to be grounded in a reality so people will accept it and buy it. And so it's anchored in something strong. And so obviously then with the sandworm, you're like, okay, you're not going to build a city. The people, you think of yourself as the founder of that city. Are you ever going to be you're not going to be out of your mind. You're going to find some sort of natural protection to put the foundations of that city. So, okay. So that there's like this mountain bowl. So you anchor your first structures there, and then you build from it. So at an angle in a natural protection, the natural protection of a mountain bowl. And then obviously because of the heat, you don't want to build anything too thin. You're going to use the material around you. So you excavate, transform things in some sort of a cement. And you you build very, very thick walls to keep the little humidity there is and little coolness inside, just like cavemen's basically.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have any too much direct light. So you create those, you imagine that system of light chimneys that will distribute the light throughout the buildings. So basically that was kind of where we start. We started with Arakeen and with Caladan. You know, like you look in the book, you know, the economy. Well, this first of all, they described the planet as an ocean planet, lots of water, and the economy is based on fisheries, wine, rice. So it's okay. So again, you know, it influences the design. The design is a response to the reality of a certain, you know, a certain culture. And so Gedi Prime is like it's a planet that's been sucked out of its natural resources. So main inspiration is like looking at all these places in Canada and China and South America overexploited, and like, so you start. And then you start about, okay, like a fake plastic world, you know, like very dark and very polluted and overcast all the time. So, And then you realize also when you read the book and you read the script, it's called Dune. Obviously, it's called Dune. So there's sand, but there's also the Fremen who live in those rock formations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you in your mind you're like, okay, if that was on planet Earth, what could I compare this to? So I was thinking, you know, the tribes and the cultures living in the Southern Pacific. So they would travel, you know, like from one rock to the other to go from planet from A to B. They would, instead of going the shorter distance, sometimes it's a longer distance, so they go. So the rocks quite important, because the rocks are shelters. So that's why when we started the project, we looked at where in the world could we film this, and the obvious solution from the studio at first was like, okay, let's be based in Morocco. But then, okay, Morocco's got the desert, but the rock formations. Mm-hmm. When you read the script, you know, like they're quite important. So.
Yeah.
We did a casting of desert, and so we ended up in Wadi Rum because they've got some extremely interesting rock formations over there. And for the desert, we went to Abu Dhabi, which was, the desert was so impressive, and the atmospheric the atmosphere was like very, very white, very like you feel the heat. You know, when you look at the Liwa Desert when you're there, when you stand there, it's like, If you venture a couple of hours, you're dead. Like, obviously the Sahara Desert is the same, but the Sahara Desert, I don't know, because of the wind, because the way it's located, it's very round. It's very romantic, we felt. But the Liwa Desert was just brutal. And I think, you know, that's what we wanted to illustrate. For Arrakis, there's nothing nostalgic, there's nothing you know, romantic about that. It's just brutal.
So. Yeah, exactly. No, that's great. That's a very interesting, very intense process, definitely, that you went through a lot of detail in that.
And then for the sand color.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So the Liwa Desert also matched the sand color that we found in Jordan.
Oh wow. Yeah.
But Jordan was a very, very popular spot when we went there.
Oh sure.
It was a popular spot for other movies, and just a little fun fact and fun story for you.
Yeah.
When we that's a bird in my trees. A blue jay. And then when we first scouted it, obviously, the film office over there, the film commission, say, oh, no, you're the, everywhere in the world is the same thing. They always say, oh, nobody else is shooting. You know, it's like, obviously, it's that's the deal all over the world.
Yeah.
So we were flying over, they offered us to fly over the Wadi Rum on the first day. Mm. And then as we're in the helicopter, Denis and I were looking down. It's like, oh, there's a caravan of vans. It's just looks like a tech scout. We asked the person of the film commission who was with us. He said, oh, no, there's no other films. Said, well, we really think it's a tech scout. So when I landed, I told Denis, I know some people on a big movie that may be actually in Jordan. Let me check. So I took my phone and I called my friend Paul Inglis, who was a supervising art director on the last Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
Are you, by the way, by any chance in Wadi Rum at the moment? So he said, yeah. And I turned around to the guy from the film commission. He said, well, I was not supposed to say it because it's an NDA. I said, yeah, but we all know each other. And so we said, okay, what bar are you? What hotel are you staying? We're saying that let's meet at the hotel bar. And we just like, we don't want to know anything about your story. We just, since they're going to shoot before us, we want to make sure that we don't shoot in the same places without knowing that we're shooting on the same places. So it was funny because we they gave us their map. Okay, this is our playground. So okay, thank you. We're not gonna go there. That was solved.
Yeah, that's definitely a funny story. Definitely.
It would have been a bit of a pity that Star Wars comes out and by that time we would have shot in Jordan and we realized, oh my god, they shot the exact same spots we did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So
yeah. So
nothing to chance. So yeah. Let's just take their territory, take it out of the equation, and let's find some new spots.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So yeah, that's awesome. So the next question is kind of like, I'd be curious to know if you ever like drew any inspiration in different forms of media or different architecture when designing those different sets on Dune.
I looked at for inspiration. I started looking at the bunkers, World War II bunkers. And then I looked at the, I found inspiration through a ziggurat architecture as well. Ancient Egypt, obviously. I looked at the Mayan, also from South America, and from South American as well, the Brazilian brutalism, which I find in quite interesting, and that was for Arakeen, and one architect also was very influential for me for Caladan and Arakeen was Carlo Scarpa, an Italian architect from Venice, who has the it's brutalism, but it's Carlo Scarpa brutalism, which is a quite interesting in the shapes. And for Caladan, I looked at there's obviously like a medieval influence on Caladan, but also a Japanese imperial architecture which inspired me. And for Gedi Prime, the insides of a whale. And also septic tanks.
Okay. Yeah.
The plastic, the way that the roundness. That's my inspiration. And art wise, you know what? Strangely, nothing. There was like for the ornithopter, there was a sculpture in the Valley of Heroes in Bulgaria that was a bit of an influence for the shape and the for the back of it, for the tail, but also obviously the firefly. Dragonfly, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And the Finnish and Polish, a stealth tank. So,
okay, yeah. Yeah.
You find inspiration anywhere and also in nature still tent. The still tent is basically based on the design of a cockroach.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
And the big nose shifts from the Harkonnen, it's basically an armadillo, which is squashed. So
I see. Yeah.
The inspiration.
Yeah, definitely a lot of inspiration. Yeah. I guess my next question is kind of like, was there a favorite scene or maybe a few favorite scenes that you designed / worked on, like in this film that you really enjoyed?
Listen, the fun thing about that movie is that I had fun on all the designs, but what was really good is like, okay. So for 7 months, I was designing with my team, which was, my concept guys, which were Dick Ferrand, George Hall, Collie Wirtz, and Yannick Dussault. And we're basically just like, I was like doing SketchUp models, sending them, and it was back and forth. And then when I was happy presenting designs to Denis, when I first met with the people at Legendary, it was 7 months later, from starting the design. So we had a very comfortable soft prep because we were creating new worlds. And one of the head of the production there, who ended up we're good friends now, Herb Gaines, and he asked me a question during that meeting. Say, oh, those are all nice, very interesting, cool looking images. We had like about like 130 images.
Wow.
Art. Images, and he said, but how are we gonna do all of this? I was quite honest with him. I said, well, some of it I know, some of them I think I know, because obviously some of them are contained on a scale of a sound stage, so you can actually build, you know, what you need to shoot. Some of them, you know, like, you know, you're going to be building partially built because they're bigger than a sound stage, and some of them you're like, I have no idea, but we're all going to fun is going to, we're all gonna be in it together. And that's what we're going to be trying to recreate. And one of those scenes I mentioned before in interviews was the Nexus scene. By the Nexus, I mean the Dr. Kine's lab. First enter Kine's lab on Arrakis in the desert. There's a huge, huge room, which has the ceiling. It's open, but it has spokes, and there's a sunlight beam that projects a shadow on the ground. And so for that scene, everybody was like scratching their heads, like, how the hell are we gonna do that? Because Greg Fraser, our DP, was like, nothing can replace, no artificial light can replace the sunlight, and you need to have that hard shadow. Yeah. And for VFX integration, we did not use any green screen or blue screen on Dune. So it's about, you know, creating for the best integration. It's about creating the perfect light, volume of light that will bounce.
And then,
so it was okay. So the solution was crazy, and it was super stressful, but at the same time, extremely collaborative from all over the board, from the producers, from the first AD, the director, obviously, the DP, VFX, and art department. In the solution, we all decided to go with. And it's scary, but it's like only a team like this, and studio included, we're like, only in this movie, it's kind of a very few in my career have experienced something like that. It's about people, the team making a movie, people pulling together and saying, let's take a chance and do it. So basically the solution was, we understand that the actors are walking on sand because the sand was brought in by the hole in the ceiling for the abandoned. So the covered with sand. Okay. In Budapest, where we were based from, all the studio work was done in Budapest. There at Origo Studio, there's like studio 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are all like put together, but there's an alley between 1 and 2, 3 and 4. There's a huge alley, which is 120 feet or 140 feet, I think, between. And it's like 300 feet long. So we, between those stages, we covered the floor with sand. We cladded up to 24 foot with plywood, painted the average color of the set, which like a gray sand, sandy color. Okay. So that we cladded the sides of the soundstage. At one end, we put again like a wall, like with movable with manitous, 24 foot wall. The rest was fabric all the way up to the 65 foot height of the sound stages. On one end, on the other end, on the other side of the open side of the alley, we built a partial side, like solid set. That's where the actors walk in and out of the scene. Above that, fabric. We created a ceiling, retractable ceiling on cables out of fabric with the right opening, but scaled down because of the proportion, because it's not as high as it should have been, to the opening of the ceiling of the real Nexus set, you know, so we've got the perfect idea of how it could be shot. Now the reality is, in Budapest it rains all the time during the summer. So our first AD gave us 5 opportunities using, okay, we know we need those actors and those extras, the Sardaukar's extra. So he made 5 days, which in the schedule, which would be using the same amount, the same cast members, and the same amount of extras as Sardaukar's. We could only, so he took care of his share of lose money. You know, like nobody wants to lose money. It's expensive. And then for the ground, I hired agricultural equipment that would just turning over the sand to make sure it's really, really dry, because there's no humidity on Arrakis. So when they walk, it has to be fluffy sand. Mm-hmm. So that was great. Then we needed a day or period of the day with no wind, because the ceiling, if it starts, the shadow will move on the ground. So it's like, we're a bit madmen to have decided going that route. And the last thing is that because of the building orientation to the sun, we could only get that specific shot between 10:45 in the morning until 11:20.
Wow.
No overcast, no wind, no. And I think it's on our second try that we got it. And at the end of the day, when we shot it, we were like all everybody was high-fiving each other. And then when the result in VFX, I think Paul Lambert and his team, Dineg, did an amazing job, because it's exactly what the art work was for that scene. So, and there's a lot of sets that had fun doing on Dune, but that's a story of showing a real collaborative effort between departments and it's making is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's great.
Together to make a vision, you know, happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, So, like you previously mentioned, you worked with director Denis Villeneuve on multiple films, Arrival, Sicario, and a little more. What was it like working with him again?
It's great because we're friends. We've known each other since the mid-90s. We did commercials together. And you know, for us, strangely, like we talk at the beginning of a project, and after that we talk very little. We just have this this relationship, this amazing relationship, which is like I create stuff, bring it to him. It's either yes, no, or like, oh, maybe, and then I go back. It's there's a really, really, really great flow between us. It's a collaboration. I never, you know, experienced that with any other director, and but you know, it's we're brothers basically. We're like linked somewhere. We don't need, there's a lot of things we don't need to talk about because we kind of we get it. You know, thank yeah. So,
That's definitely nice. Definitely.
and it's been like that, you know, since we first started working together. It's like a, there's a flow, there's a yeah, and it's the same, and with that team, you know, it's just with Roger, it was amazing as well, with Roger Deakins
Oh, sure.
on Prisoners and Sicario. And with Greg, and it's like the way Denis works with his team, it's we're all there. He's got a strong vision. It's very clear. We understand what everybody's role is, and we all collaborate together to make it happen. And nobody in that team, including Denis, nobody's got ego. So if someone else got a better idea, the better idea wins.
Sure.
And we're all open-minded about it.
Yeah.
Which makes it a special relationship, not just with Denis, but with the rest of the team, because Denis has that ability to surround himself with people with that same, you know, like egos don't work in a team with Denis. It's
Yeah.
like if you leave your ego at home. Like we're all in it together, and we're all in it to find solutions together.
Yeah, that's great that you is so a great team. It definitely sounds like definitely.
But like solid, and we're all friends, you know? Yeah.
Definitely. So I guess three more. So you're one of a handful of people in this industry to win an Oscar. Could you explain the feelings, emotions like of winning like such a prestigious award?
It's Listen, it's like it's the pinnacle of awards. It's like you when you grow up in a suburb of Montreal, it's something that you never think about. You, even though my parents, as I mentioned before, they were movie lovers, and we watched the Oscars every year. Anyway, we watched it. It was basically like Christmas when we were kids. Meaning at Christmas we can stay up, you know, until everybody goes to sleep, or until you're just faint, tired, just crash. But Oscars were the same. We everybody, the whole family was staying until the last the Best Picture award was awarded. So for me, it was more like it's the life of others. You know, it's like it's something that, you know, and but to be there, it was my third nomination. I was nominated before for The Young Victoria, then Arrival, and then Dune. And the competition was quite fierce this year with Tamara Deverell with Nightmare Alley, who was also working with Shane Vaillant, my set decorator for Dune Part Two. And Stephane Deschamps for Tragedy of Macbeth, which I loved. And Adam Stockhausen, being there with Adam Stockhausen, it was I'm a huge fan of his. Oh my God. So like, and winning, I was like, wow. But everybody there like deserved it. It was just like when you're, I know it sounds cliche to say that, but it's yeah, it's like yeah. Everybody deserted. You win it. It's like a, it's kind of almost like a roll of the dice, and you're like, "Wow, it's my. I guess it's my turn." It's like, yeah, turn. But yeah, no, it's a, and then obviously, it's you need to take it back because we were working on part two when it all happened. So it was like, honestly, it was an amazing experience, but it was also a distraction because we're in the middle of working on part two. So
sure.
I was happy that it was done with, so there was no more distraction. And but we partied pretty good afterwards.
Good. Yeah.
Everybody pretty good afterwards. And then on a plane, let's go back to work.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's box. Okay, forget about it. Let's work on part two.
Yeah. All right. So this one's a little bit of a different question going into like advice. What, like, for people that might want to go into the film industry or become production designers, like what advice would you give to those people starting out?
Well, the people starting out, I think when you're a young art director or designer, the first thing, it's like, don't forget the reason you're there. It's because you do have a voice, and it's good to, obviously you need to follow the orders, but it's also good. Like everybody in my team, I love it when they come to me and ask me a question, because I make mistakes. We all make mistakes, like about a design, certain design. And it's like, either you're going to be told, thank you, I did not think about that, and that's a really good idea, and I'm going to implement it in a design, or or thank you, but this is the reason this is made a certain way, designed a certain way, because it tells a story. This brings me to never forget that you're a storyteller, and design needs to it's, again, as I mentioned before at the beginning of the of this podcast, design is a response to a reality, or it needs to be a metaphor to something. It's not just a, if think about the scene or what you're trying to sell, if it's a commercial, or what is the essence of the scene? Why has this scene been written? Why did people put effort? And then try to put your art into helping supporting that, not trying to be the rock star or to overtake the show. It's just like, how can you support that?
Mm-hmm.
I always think like the best designs are the best VFX or the best. You know, like it's we're kind of the baseline of a song. It's not there to overtake, it's there to support, to be the, and that's the never forget that, because so many times you come out of school, and I did the same mistake. I think it's a mistake. I did those same mistakes. There's like, okay, you want to show off, you want to show everybody, I can that, look how different this is, look how, but then you're overshadowing every, like, it's not good. It's like you don't need to do a guitar solo in a song that doesn't need it, you know? It's like, just be, if it's just like, and it's okay, you know, like you go on location sometimes, it's like, you know what, this location is perfect, I don't need to do anything here, or maybe if it's just a plastic bag that is just like being pushed by the wind, and just could be as simple as that. Or, you know, like what season do we want to mark? It's in spring, or it's in fall. Just like something on the floor, something floating in the air. Just like that translates that idea. So always trying to go further, but stay within what the story is about. Don't try to over, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. Definitely. And lastly, for my last question, I know you did the production design for Dune Part 2, which is scheduled to release next year. Is there anything you'd like to share about that or any other film that you worked on?
I wish this year, but that's the reality of the strike. But no, I cannot, unfortunately, I cannot share anything about it. Besides, we did not shoot any existing, like pre-existing sets. It's all new sets. There's 40% more sets, and it's a bit bigger, I would say. 40% bigger. Yeah, it is bigger. And we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're crossing our fingers for part three. So
Oh,
that's
that's
that.
definitely.
Yeah. And oh yeah, and besides Dune, I did a movie called Foe in Australia. It's being released on I think the 12th of October. It's a sci-fi movie, and it's very interesting.
Nice. Yeah, look forward to it. Definitely. But thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Vermette, for doing this with me.
I appreciate.
And that officially wraps up the interview. I'd once again like to thank Mr. Vermette for joining me to do this interview. It was truly a pleasure getting to talk with him about Dune and his overall career in general. I'd also highly encourage you all to check out the film discussed today, Dune, if you haven't already. It's a great film, and Mr. Vermette and the entire team did a great job on this film. I would encourage you all to check out Mr. Vermette's other work as well, Arrival, Prisoners, and more. His work is just truly great, and in my opinion, deserves more and more attention from the general public. So I appreciate you all for listening to this interview, and look forward for more interviews to come. This is Lights, Camera, Film Reviews, signing out.